This is Ozarks at Large. The politics of Arkansas for the very near future and for the further down the road future provide plenty of topics for interesting conversation. Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business Arkansas recently talked to two of the state's most read political bloggers about what health care changes and developing races for state constitutional offices may mean for the natural state. Roby invited Michael Cook, who blogs from a left perspective, and Jason Tolbert, who writes from the right side, to talk about those topics and others.
Let's begin with Dustin McDaniel files a lawsuit in conjunction with U.S. Attorney Chris Steyer this week against ExxonMobil. Do you think that this type of publicity is the thing that can rehabilitate Dustin McDaniel's image? Jason, you first.
No, I really don't think this plays much outside of the issue itself, outside of the oil spill. I think Dustin McDaniel needs to go away for a little while, maybe come back a few cycles down the road. I think 2014, it's just not going to be his year.
You think 2014 is a Dustin McDaniel year?
I don't see it, but you never know in that because you have open. He can run for the Congress in the first or the second district, and this oil issue is ready made to run against Tim Griffin, who used the oil pipeline issue to run in his last election. So McDaniel could set up a great, you know, contrast between the two. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I don't think he does. I think Jason and I agree, and I think he probably sits out a few cycles and see what opens up next.
I gotta say, I mean, I still feel like as early as all the election stuff has started this year, particularly with the prior race, which we're going to talk about, it still feels like we're a long ways
right.
away
well,
from
we
the
are.
Election.
It's still June of the off year.
I'm thinking 6 months from now, we may think it's been a political eternity.
Right. Sure.
Well, the one thing, you know, remember the scandal broke in December of 2012. By the time the election comes around, it'll been almost 2 years since his problem first arose.
Yeah, the hard thing for him, though, would be to come back and say, you know, I decided not to run because I thought this would be a distraction. Now I've changed my mind, and I don't think it's going to be a distraction in the same election cycle that we're talking about. So how does he go from saying I'm dropping out because it's a distraction to, well, you forgot about it, so now it's no longer a distraction. It's
right.
just kind of odd.
We'll see how that plays out. Let's talk about the Mark Pryor race. He still has no announced opponent. We think that Congressman Tom Cotton is the likely person there. Mark Pryor told me about 2 weeks ago he's on every endangered species list in Washington. Was that a good statement for him to make?
It's a true statement. I mean, at least he's owning up to it. I mean, look, he is a Democrat in a state that Obama lost, John Kerry lost. I mean, he's going to have a tough fight. You know, he's taking some heat from the left and a little bit from the right over the whole gun control issue. I think the one saving grace for him is that he is where independent voters are on the background check issue. You look at all the polling, and it turns out that he's right where most Arkansans are. I think that helps him. Of course, now he'd rather not be having commercials against him run by the Bloomberg Group. But, of course, in some ways, that may actually help him.
He's an endangered species?
Yeah, you know, it was kind of an odd statement. I don't know that he might want to pull that one back. Once you get it into people's head that you're in trouble, that you might not be reelected, that's a difficult dialogue to change. I almost compare it to the Super Bowl. Everybody wants to pick the winner of the Super Bowl. Everybody wants to vote for the guy that's going to win. And once you kind of become known as the guy that's probably going to lose, it's hard to change that dialogue. Now, he might actually like talking about guns as much as we're talking about guns because he doesn't have to talk about his vote for Obamacare. The more he has to talk about that, the more I think it really hurts him. This is his first cycle he's had to stand for reelection since casting
that
vote.
What do you think the defining issue of this Senate race is going to be? The Republicans and the conservatives clearly want it to be about his votes with Obama and probably Obamacare, but these other issues, guns, immigration, I still think there's probably more to come.
Right.
Those could all surface out there. What do you think of the defining issue?
I think the Republicans are going to try to make him seem as Obama's number one ally. And Democrats and Pryor are going to show that he is an independent voice for Arkansas, that all he cares about and fights for is what Arkansas believes in. I think Obamacare, you know, I think the more they try to tie Pryor to Obamacare, which he did vote for, and he has owned up to that, is the more Pryor talks about how the Arkansas Republican legislature voted to implement a major piece of Obamacare. And it drives Republican legislators crazy, and they say, no, we did this, we did that. At the end of the day, it kind of helps mess up the issue and kind of take a little heat off of
it. But is that working for him?
Well, I think it makes him look pretty weak. When you're a two-term senator, you've been in the U.S. Senate for 12 years, and you're having to tie yourself to Republican state legislatures that have only been there for 2 or 4 years, I think that's a pretty weak strategic place for you to be. I understand why he's doing that, but I don't know that it's really the best strategy that's going to work.
Part of the strategy is that it puts Tom Cotton in a particular problem, because Cotton will probably be the nominee. So every time Cotton tries to talk about Obamacare, Pryor talks about the Republican state legislature and completely muddies up the issue. I think it's actually a strong position.
Well, if Tom Cotton had been in the state legislature, I'd agree with you, but he wasn't. I think he's always been clear that he
wasn't. No, but the state legislature will have a fit every time. They are having a fit every time Pryor brings it up. But, you know, we'll see. I think, but the larger question is, I think it's still too early to tell what the issues will actually be.
What the defining issue will be.
It could change a lot next year.
I think it could too.
Yeah.
So we're talking about Tom Cotton. He is the presumptive challenger to Mark Pryor. I asked John Brummett this question last week on the show. I hadn't had a chance to ask you guys yet. Do you think Tom Cotton is the best challenger, the strongest challenger for Mark Pryor?
Michael? I don't think so. I mean, the man's been in Congress for about 5 minutes. He has no real significant legislative proposals. I mean, he just found out where the bathrooms are 3 days ago, and now he wants to be a U.S. senator. I think he's going a little bit too far, too fast. Plus, these votes that he's had that are just abhorrent in the Congress. You know, he voted against hurricane relief for people who were hurt by the hurricane in the northeast part of the state because we wanted to get the account.
Country.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
We wanted to get the accounting done first to make sure we had the offsets. That kind of shows that the heart's not right there, and he continues to take these extremist positions.
What's the talk in Republican circles about Tom Cotton and his strength
well,
as a candidate?
The strength of Tom Cotton is the fact that he's going to, number one, raise a ton of money to run a very well-funded campaign, and he'll run a very disciplined campaign. He'll stay on message. They will decide this is what we're going to talk about, and he'll stay true to that. That's the reason that he's likely to have success. You saw John Bozeman do the same thing back in 2010. Mm-hmm. John Bozeman ran a very well-funded, very disciplined campaign. I think Tom Cotton will have a similar campaign to that. He's a little bit younger than John Bozeman, so he'll have a little more energy there, I think, but I think it'll be a similar campaign.
Let's shift to another race that's going to heat up in Arkansas. It heated up this week because we got two Democratic candidates announced for Lieutenant Governor. John Burkhalter, businessman, very successful highway commissioner. Diane Curry, Little Rock School Board president. I want to talk about Republicans because we're hearing a lot of names in Republican circles. It might be easier to say who's not running
That's right.
for Lieutenant Governor on the Republican side. How crowded do you think that primary might be on the Republican side?
Well, I don't know how crowded it ends up. I've heard a lot of people talking about it. I've even heard talk that perhaps the incumbent, Mark Dar, may actually stay put. It's not sure what he's going to do there.
That presents a totally different dynamic.
Sure. And if he stays put, I don't think there is a primary. I don't think anybody challenges him. But if he gets out of it, I've heard as many as four names this week. There's three state legislatures that I've heard looking for it. Charlie Collins has made it clear he's looking for it. I spoke with Representative Andy Mayberry this week. He said that he's given the race some serious consideration. Kelly Link is also looking at the race as well. I've heard, haven't talked to him, but I've heard he's looking at it. I've also heard a former Senate candidate, Conrad Reynolds, might be looking at it as well. So you could see a very crowded a primary. It could be almost kind of like the Senate was in 2010. Where
that's
candidates.
Good for filing fees for political
right.
parties.
Right.
Burkhalter, though, versus Curry.
Burkhalter
a stronger candidate.
It gets it hands down. I mean, he'll have the money. He has the. If he wants to put money in, he certainly has that. Dan Curry is a great person. I just don't think this is the position for her to go from school board to lieutenant governor is too big of a leap. And I would also say, you know, beware of businessmen, rich businessmen who run for lieutenant governor. They almost always win. You have Win Rockefeller, Bill Halter, and now you have John Burkhalter. You know, if he puts in a couple $1 million of his own money, that's going to be hard to overcome.
Throw Jim Guy Tucker in that mix.
And Jim Guy Tucker as well.
The same thing.
Exactly.
So. All right. We also saw this week a group, Arkansans Against Big Government, basically got qualification from the Attorney General's office to go collect signatures for a private option repeal. Do they make the ballot?
Just when you think the private option is going to go away,
right.
It's back again. We have to talk about it some more. Yeah, you know, it's going to be really tough to get it on that timetable. They've got only, I think, another couple months where they have to get those signatures. If some money comes in and people kind of invest in the signature effort, I think they do get it. But to get that in the middle of the summer, to get out there to these, you know, cherry blossom festivals and the watermelon festivals and tomato festivals to get those signatures, they're going to really have to hustle to get it done.
Yeah. Michael?
You know, having run a ballot petition campaign before, I can tell you, if you have the money, you can get it done. It's just the question of, do they have the funds to get it done? Now, if it's a volunteer effort, that short a time frame, I don't know. But if they do make it to the ballot, this issue will be, I think, a major issue come 2014 on both the Democratic and Republican sides.
All right. Well, give me just your takeaway real quick. Does it help Democrats more? Does it help Republicans more if this thing's on the ballot in 2014?
You know, honestly, I think it kind of hurts everybody. I think everybody's kind of tired of talking about this issue. I think it hurts Republicans. It makes primaries uncomfortable for them. I think it hurts Democrats when we get to the general election. Every one of them voted for it. They don't really want to be talking about Obamacare in any shape or fashion. So I don't think really anyone on either party wants to deal with this anymore.
Ruby Brock from our content partner Talk Business Arkansas talked to bloggers Jason Tolbert and Michael Cook. You can hear more at the website talkbusiness.net. Support for Talk Business Arkansas on Ozarks at Large is provided by Mitchell Williams Law, providing strategic counsel on a variety of sophisticated legal matters since 1954. Mitchell Williams Law Firm combines decades of diverse professional experience to clients across the U.S. Today, the firm employs nearly 80 attorneys from 4 offices in Arkansas, Texas, and New York. Online at MitchellWilliamsLaw.com.
And Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at BankOzarks.com. And the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas. Diversity is the key to reliability and affordability. From the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road, the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas serve members with a stable supply of electricity backed up with fuel diversity. More at AECC.com.